start off by translating the lingo for listeners. What do you mean by the phrase teacher pay penalty?
The teacher wage penalty is how much teachers earn relative to their non-teaching professional peers. That's after we take into account differences such as age and education and state of residency. So we have an apples to apples comparison given relative teacher pay compared to other non-teaching peers.
Now, on the flip side of that, what do you mean by the benefits advantage you refer to in your report?
So what we do then is we take into consideration that teachers do have on average a little bit better benefits than other professionals. And so we kind of look to see how much does the teacher pay gap, the wage gap, get mitigated by the benefits. So they do make about 9% better in benefits. So that does help to mitigate the what we call the total compensation gap when you look at the wages versus the differences in the better benefits that teachers get. And we come up with a total compensation penalty of just over 14% that's left after that calculation.
Going back to the wage penalty, your study found that it's at an all-time high nationwide, but that it's especially striking here in Colorado. Just how striking is the disparity?
We estimate teacher wage gaps for each and every state in the country. And it is that Colorado has the distinguished of being the worst teacher pay gap that we have estimated. Teachers in Colorado have the largest weekly wage gap. They earn over a third less than their non-teaching counterparts. That's the biggest state gap that we've estimated in this report.
What's the reason behind the pay gap here?
Well, it's hard to know exactly, but being somebody who lived a long time in Colorado, I know that Colorado has been booming. So wages generally, especially for other professionals, as Colorado has invested in tech and other industries that are paid pretty high wages, so especially in the Denver-Boulder corridor, you see the two moving parts here. One is what's happening to the wages of other professionals. We know that has been increasing for quite some time in Colorado. And then what's happening to teacher pay? And we know with the walkouts that occurred in Colorado in 2000, I think around 18 and 19, this was already on the agenda that there was an issue with teacher pay in Colorado. So when you put the two together, what we have is a very, very large and significant weekly wage differential that over a career for somebody in Colorado would be just an enormous sum of money.
And how does this affect retention rates of educators and the overall quality of the public school system?
Well, look, this time of year, every single state is now scurrying to get teachers in the classroom. Every single state has teacher shortages. And we know from surveys that teachers leave the profession, especially after COVID. There's certainly some issues there. We do know that the pay gap is part of the reason why there's difficulties in retaining experienced teachers and attracting new teachers into the profession. The kids in school today, the college kids in school today that are going to figure out what they want to do for their careers, know of these differences. Their career counselors, you know, are very much aware of this. So surveys tell us that, you know, even kids who want to become school teachers, a lot of times even their parents kind of stray them against it because they just think it's going to be very hard, for instance, to pay back these enormous student loans that many of them will have when they know that their pay will likely fall further and further behind.
You mentioned the pandemic. At the start of the pandemic, there was this outpouring of appreciation for teachers. Have you seen any evidence anywhere in the U.S. of this lip service translating into meaningful hikes in wages or working conditions for educators?
Well, there's certainly some reports of this that I've read. It's hard to keep track of school districts and in all the states and what's happening. A lot of it is, you know, disaggregated by districts. Some of it is done more at the state level. It just depends. So there has been some of that, especially again on the heels of the massive strikes and walkouts and actions that we saw where teachers and entire communities in support of teachers went on strike, the largest strikes we saw at that time in 30 years. in 2018 and 19. So I think it's on the heels of that and then on COVID that we've seen some more actions to give bonuses, retaining and retention bonuses. That's could help, but that's not going to close these gaps, especially if they are one-time bonuses. We need some serious thought on this, some sustained and large investments in public education generally and in teacher pay more specifically to start even slowing down this trend, let alone reversing this trend. And look, you have to think money matters. Again, if you're in school thinking about what you want to do with your career, are you going to pick teaching when you know your pay is going to fall so much further behind that of another profession that you may invest your life in?
Teaching is one of those careers that qualifies for public service loan forgiveness. But at what point does it not really even out in the long run when the wages are so low and you're stuck between low wages and a debt that takes sometimes decades to pay off?
Yeah, like so many other people who go to college, teachers also are just burdened by huge amounts of student loan debt. And you couple that with places like Colorado or where I am here in Oakland, California, very high cost of living places. And you just can't afford to be a teacher in these places. That's just another layer of why this wage penalty coupled with areas that are high cost of living, how it's just almost impossible to choose teaching as a profession if you're going to try to thrive in those areas.
As someone who has been steeped in this data while authoring this report, I'd like to get your thoughts on what's behind this trend. Why is it accepted to underpay teachers?
The trend is kind of two parts, right? The part is about what's happening with the wages of teachers, and then also what's happening with the wages of other college grads. And also, I think we have to keep in mind that teaching used to be women, almost all women, it still is today, over 75% of teachers are women. That's the same percentage in 1960. But in 1960, women were a captive labor pool. Educated women were a captive labor pool for teaching because we had huge barriers that women faced that couldn't go into all kinds of other professions, right? And so that's no longer the case. The good news is that over these decades, all kinds of opportunity has opened up for women. And women are going into those other professions. They're doctors and lawyers and dentists and judges and all kinds of working in tech and all kinds of other industries that pay more. So part of it is what we call, you know, the opportunity cost. And that opportunity cost is getting too big and too negative to expect women just to keep teaching. I mean, we certainly don't want to, you know, cut off of their opportunities to make them the best and the brightest go into teaching. Because imagine when you could only really go into nursing and teaching pretty much as a professional back in the day, you did have some of the best and brightest women teaching in the public schools. We have to make it competitive. It should be hard to become a teacher, and it should be very highly paid to become a teacher in the United States of America. That's what it really should be like. We are the wealthiest country in the world, and we could do this. It's not wealth, it's will that stands in the way.
Silvia Allegretto, is there anything else that you wanted to add that I didn't touch on with my questions?
If you're a parent, you have to be concerned. There's not enough teachers in your school. That's happening right now to a lot of, you know, in a lot of districts and a lot of schools. And what happens now is a lot of these shortages, like the way when you read it in the press now, it's like the shortages are just, it's kind of tough right now, but they all get taken care of. And that's simply not true. Some of the shortages last, they're large and they last the entire school year, especially like in places like Arizona, they're letting like anybody come in and teach. They're just having warm bodies in the classroom. That can't be an answer.
Well, that's certainly food for thought. My guest today has been Silvia Allegretto, Economic Policy Institute Research Associate and a graduate of CU Boulder. You are listening to The Morning Magazine. We'll be right back after this quick break.